phased remodeling, grading around your house, and vinyl siding up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Okay, Brian, in today's show, we got a couple of questions from our listeners. One on issues of installing vinyl siding over old siding.
In replace of old siding.
And the other one is on some issues with grading around a stuccoed house.
Yes.
But I also want to talk about this issue of phased remodeling. Do you know what phased remodeling is? It sounds like something from Star Trek.
Yeah, it would be where you would, you know, maybe you've got that big project in mind and you decide to do just a little bit at a time here and there,
right,
as money permits.
So we're going to talk about the pros and cons of phased remodeling because it's popular right now in the down economy. People are afraid to bite off too much, appropriately so. They want to take projects in pieces, just do what you can afford and then move on to the next piece of it when you have enough money. So we'll talk about the pros and cons of that after we give out our contact information.
Okay, well, you can always call us at 818-804-TOOL, which is 8665 on your keypad, or use the contact form on our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys Podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
According to Home Improvement Times, Brian, residential remodels are no longer those once-in-a-lifetime projects that keep homeowners dreaming years on end before they even pick up a hammer. This story says that instead, many homeowners opt to do a series of remodels as their schedules and budgets and lifestyles evolve over time, according to the National Association of Remodeling Industry. And it says, in fact, according to a recent Consumer Reports poll on home remodeling, 36% of homeowners who plan to remodel plan to do so in phases. So, instead of saving up, you know, all your money or financing for that big, huge, say, kitchen remodel,
mm-hmm,
to do it all at once where you gut it down to the studs and get new cabinets and new flooring,
sure, sure,
and new countertops, they're doing it in pieces. And it makes a lot of sense. It may not just be a kitchen. It could be maybe your entertainment room where you're going to do an entertainment center and you just get the TV. Then later on, you get maybe some furniture. You get the amplifier and the speakers or something instead of all at once. It could be a smaller project like that. But, you know, you do it in phases. And from a budget point of view, it does make a lot of sense.
Right. You're not taking out a big home equity loan. You're doing it as you can pay it and as you can afford.
Exactly. So,
what happens, Paul?
It's all good.
Let's talk about a kitchen, for example.
All right.
Let's say you want to upgrade your countertops.
Ah, yes. Something I'm going through right now.
Right. Well, now you've got awesome looking countertops, but you've got those cabinets that might be a little down in the tooth, as they say, right?
Are you saying that my kitchen cabinets are a little, you know?
No, I'm not. I'm not just saying. Now you've got nice new countertop, but the cabinets maybe won't be as happy with down the road.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, maybe your flooring doesn't quite match what you want with the countertop. So the advantage of doing everything all at once, you know, new faucet, sinks, appliances, countertop, flooring, is you can, you know, have all of that done at once. And you're not undoing anything that you've previously done if you're going to make a change down the road.
You know, it's all going to match. You know, you're not piecing things together. You know, the other problem I've seen in phase remodels is, I use the example of the family entertainment room. You know, some people are putting in theaters, home theaters, and, you know, you get, all right, well, we can afford the huge 60-inch TV now. We'll just get that. And then, you know, in a year or two, we'll get the receiver and a few or whatever.
But for surround sound.
We'll use the speakers now. Well, the problem is, by the time you're getting ready to finish up the job, the technology changes, you know.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you realize, I should have gotten a different receiver or, you know, something is not right. The TV technology. Those people, they got rear projections, you know, 4 years ago now realized, oh, I could have gotten a flat screen. And
right. And technology there changes very quickly. So that might be a case where you want to, you know, get what you want
right.
kind of all together as a package. And then, you know, everything's going to work together.
And the other thing is, you know, with the paints and you paint a room and then you can change that fairly easy, but you need
sure.
to be, you want to think through, you know, upholsteries, curtains, things like that are not something you want to probably change as often. They can get expensive. So,
sure can.
You know, if you're phasing those in over time, by the time, if you put in curtains first and decide to paint later, well, by the time you get around to painting to match, you know, maybe you won't like the curtains or vice versa. You do the paint and then you get the curtains and then you got to repaint again or whatever. At least in that case, it's not too expensive,
right.
but you need to think through. And in some cases, it's helpful just to either talk to someone that's really good at coordinating colors and systems
right.
or to give you a plan as opposed to just, you know, be honest with you, I've painted some rooms 3 times before we got it right because
sure.
we never talked to someone that really understood how to put colors together. And we would
right.
get, you know, something, curtains suddenly didn't match the walls or whatever.
Right.
So
but paint is cheap. That's the easiest,
true.
You know, that's
but
the
time,
easiest way to change the look of a room.
But time isn't. So
right, time's not
I always
cheap.
Find, you know, I just get a home direct decorator. Fortunately, we know some that don't charge much or even free to give us some advice because I'm not good with color and I'd rather not have to paint it 3 times.
Sure, I'm with you so, there, Paul.
So that's the
but
problem with phase.
Back to like kitchen countertops,
yeah.
right? Let's say you do upgrade just the countertops and not the cabinets and think that, okay, I want to do the cabinets maybe in 4 or 5 years. I'm going to
sure.
save up for them, right?
Yeah.
Now you've put an investment in the countertops. If you go to do the cabinets later, you can take that granite, let's say,
right.
very expensive, out, and you can put new cabinets in and put that granite back, but you're going to be constrained by the
footprint.
By the layout,
yeah, the layout.
By that footprint, and
yeah.
you're going to need to match that.
Exactly, so you can't make any changes if you want to make your island a little bigger or smaller or whatever.
Right.
You could be limited on those changes.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, if you put in a floor first and you wait a few years, you know, the floor, you may be starting to have some wear and tear, some problems with it. And so now you have a nice new counter, say, or even cabinets, yet your floor is kind of beat up
right.
and getting old. So you have to really think through that. Maybe it's better just to keep saving the money until
right.
you can afford some
right.
you know, several components at once.
Sure. And, you know, the advantage, though, of doing that phased is maybe you put in a better quality countertop or better quality appliances. Let's say you do one appliance a year,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Then they can be reused. You're not going to throw them away.
Of the appliances,
or,
yeah.
or whatever, or that countertop,
right.
or those cabinets.
Sure.
In other words,
yeah.
a decent cabinet can
true.
Be installed and removed and reinstalled
right.
if necessary, if it's done carefully. Whereas, you know, some cabinets you know, aren't going to last the life of the home. They're,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're cheap particle board and they, you know, we've answered questions from listeners about particle board that's swelling up because it got wet and things like that. So those cabinets are going to be ready for the trash. You're not going to reinstall something like that.
Right. So, so there you go. It may make sense for you. So you don't have to break the bank and yet you can get some nice new improvements in phases. Just be careful. Think through the entire project. What are the pros and cons of doing one piece of it now? Are your cabinets, you know, up to speed? You know, there's no point in putting lipstick on a pig. Isn't that an expression
I have heard that recently. I love that expression. Yes.
So, you know, if you have decent cabinets, maybe it makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. But those are our thoughts on this phased remodeling approach. Up next, we want to talk about vinyl siding.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
All right, Brian, here's a good idea for a phased remodel. You put new siding on your house, right? You don't just build a new house just because you need new
right.
siding.
But are you going to phase it in by putting, you know, one side a year on the house?
My dad used to paint one side a year, I think. He would just paint one side, but that's a little different.
Yeah, that's a little different.
So here, we got a question. This question is from Luann, and she says, I really enjoy your podcast and have a question for you. We are getting our 60-plus-year-old house re-sided with vinyl siding. I wonder if she had the original clobbered siding there and, Yeah, it does.
Like that other guy had.
Yeah, eventually, yeah, it starts to go. It's hard to keep painting it and filling in holes. They will be replacing the – oh, actually, here it is. Aluminum siding. I didn't read the entire question. They're replacing aluminum. So they probably put the aluminum on in the 70s. And I guess they – I wonder if they've considered painting it. But anyway, my question is, what can I expect? I've gone to the website that tell you to take down all of your framed artwork from the walls. What happens to all the stuff already cut in the siding, the dryer vents, the water pipes and such? I hope this isn't a stupid question. Thanks for your help. Well, thanks for the question, Luann. It's not a stupid question. You do need to think about how they are going to treat all those items that poke through your house. You have exhausts. You have light fixtures. You have
windows and doors,
sills,
right?
Windows, doors. You have trim around those windows and doors. You have soffit trim. You have lots of various trim and J-channel and flashing and et cetera, et cetera. And the aluminum would use certain kinds of trim, which is going to come off with it.
Right.
And depending on what is underneath, I would assume, if it's, say, original wood, who knows what they did to the windowsills, right? Don't they sometimes chop off the ends of them?
Yeah, we talked about that in the previous show. So, and the vinyl siding guys know all of this.
Yeah.
And they should have mentioned that, you know, their job is going to include all of the proper flashing and trim for all of the penetrations. And quite frankly, that's almost the biggest part of the job, is all of the trim and the flashings,
right,
and going around your outlets and pipes and lights and windows and doors. That takes as much time as it, or more time sometimes, than it actually does to put up the siding itself. So I can't imagine any reputable contractor not considering that when he gives you a price. So you may want to just talk to your contractor and say, I just want to make sure that this includes these items. And he'll say, yes, of course it does, probably. if he says, no, that's going to be extra, I think you need to find another
sure.
contractor.
Right. Yeah, that should have been talked about. It should be in your contract, exactly as you said. So, yeah, go back and talk to your contractor. Ask him these questions. Don't ask the handy guys. It's a good question, though. Thanks for asking us.
Right.
But make sure you ask your contractor.
Yep.
It's not a dumb question. So,
Paul, we should do a tip of the day, or what did you call it last show?
It's the bonus tip of the show. Okay. Do we have time for a bonus tip?
I have a bonus tip having to do with siding.
Cool. What is it?
Okay, bonus tip for
Bondo?
Siding.
Just Bondo it all.
On the sides of your house, put the siding on from right to left, from back to front.
What if your front?
Or I'm sorry. Is from back to front?
Right, not from right to left, because it depends.
Well,
I was
picturing the right side of my house. Right, put it on from back to front. A good siding guy is going to just do that as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is the vinyl siding has seams, and those seams overlap each other. So when you're looking at the house from the front, you don't want to see the end of one of those pieces at the seam. So if you overlap it so that the piece towards the front of the house overlaps the piece towards the back of the house and not vice versa, you can't see that seam when you're in front of the house.
Now, what if the back of your house is facing the road?
Well, you're going to do, you know, whichever way you're going to see the siding most often
is
what you want to think about.
All right.
And you want to hide that seam by making it behind the piece in front of it.
Now,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, because it would hide the seams. That makes sense. Now, but you want to make also certain that the installer, you know, get references, talk to people who've had it installed, go look at their homes, especially ones that have been installed, homes that have been installed for 5+ years, because you want to make sure that they do not install it too tightly. You want to make sure they allow gaps on each side of the siding, because vinyl siding expands and contracts a lot. And if you have ever seen a house where they don't allow a movement for the siding, in other words, they put it tight from left to right,
as their temperature changes, it buckles.
It starts to buckle, and you see it. It gets wavy, or it's just not quite straight.
When you hang that vinyl siding, they call it hanging. You don't nail it.
Right.
I mean, you're using nails, but it hangs from those nails. Those nails don't nail it tight up against the wall. So that's another good tip.
So, yeah, make sure, and you can mention it to them. You don't have to ask them. They should know that. But if they're young, you know, installers that haven't installed much, that's something they may do wrong, and you don't want them doing that wrong. And you should be able to move it a little bit left to right when they start installing it.
So, right.
All right. Those are the siding tips. Up next, we have a question about the a listener who's got a stucco house and moisture, potential moisture issues. Up next.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, this question is from Gary. He writes, I bought a house 6 weeks ago. One of the comments the inspection report was of the grading by the bedroom that it needed attention and it was close to the stucco and would allow moisture to pass. This section is a new section to the house and is built on a concrete foundation, so a concrete slab, I assume. At the front of the house, however, that was built in 1947, the stucco goes all the way under the soil, as such, clearly built with a different code. How do you prevent moisture egress here? Is the stucco sealed? How do I know if it is still effective? Thanks for the great show, Gary.
Well, thanks for the compliments first, Gary. The stucco is not sealed. We're going to assume here that this is traditional Portland cement-based stucco, a masonry product. We're not going to get into, in this show, synthetic stuccos and things like that. And no, that product is not sealed per se. We'll talk big picture concepts first, I think. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that that dirt on the side of your house is lower than the level of the floor of your house.
Right.
On that, you know, we're talking about the room with the slab, right?
Right.
So you don't want that dirt higher than the level of the slab on the inside.
And on the other part, if you have a basement, you wouldn't want it higher than what, like the sill plate?
Than the sill, right. The framing
top of your,
numbers.
Yeah,
right.
The top of your whatever foundation.
Right.
You want it to be a little bit lower than that.
Exactly right. Because and then that dirt needs to slope away about an inch per foot over 6 foot is ideal, so that moisture, rain, water, runoff will run away from your house and not in. If you have that dirt higher than your level of your floor of your slab, then the water will seep through that stucco, seep into the wall framing, and maybe even come in and you know, wet your carpet and just cause all kinds of problems. I actually had that exact situation in my first house. There was I think when the house was built was a garage, and then it had been converted into a living room. If it wasn't, anyway, it was on a slab, and there were some planting beds and so forth on against one wall. And over years, it had built up the grade from mulch and things like that. And then one day I noticed some water stains on the inside wall. I didn't realize that the grade outside was higher than the level of the floor inside. So I had to take that grade down. Exact same situation that you have, Gary. Bring that grade down below the level of the floor.
Now, what do you do if you can't bring it down? Like maybe there's a downslope towards your house or, you know, you have a sidewalk that runs next to your house or a driveway, which is, you know, you can't lower that.
Yeah.
You got to find some way to drain it.
That's some poor planning, right? Gary sent some pictures in, and he has those kind of situations. He's got, you know, a raised planting bed and some things like that, but it looks like his grade is down low enough, he said in a follow-up email. But the way he did it was he measured, actually. He had a window right next to the area in question, and so he could measure from the windowsill down on the inside and then measure from the windowsill down on the outside and make sure his grade is down low enough. If you have a planting bed, you're going to want to dig that out and get it down lower.
Right. You also probably don't. I don't know where. I wasn't sure where he lives, but you want, you know, if you're in areas where there's a lot of termites and things and pests, you don't want like mulch and stuff like that up against that part of your house.
Right.
It's just going to attract them
to the
sill plate.
Because you have wood framing
in
there. Yeah, exactly. So keep that dirt away from any wood framing, because behind that stucco, Gary, you have wood, and that's what's of concern. You don't want moisture getting into that.
All right. So there's a good tip, Brian, and hopefully he can he will be have a successful home there. One thing that I generally say when you get those inspection reports, and I've seen some recently because I've had some relatives sell their home, the inspectors these days are extremely thorough. Let's just say
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's very good, but you kind of need, you know how like when you get a legal document, you sometimes need a lawyer to help you examine it and sort it out and understand key language. You almost have to do the same thing these days with inspectors' reports because they don't always sort things out, rate things, what's the most critical. They just throw every possible issue that they could see, you know, not necessarily issues behind walls or other things, that they don't try to take things apart, but they try to list a lot of things, and sometimes items aren't all that serious. Now, in this case, I do think it's something you want to look at, but just the fact of having stucco go below grade may not be that big of a deal as long as it's ground is
sloped
away.
That's why I mentioned the concept is as long as the ground does not let moisture into the framing behind the stucco, you're good.
And it sounded like the inspector may have gave that impression. Right. But they're just trying to cover themselves. They just want to say everything that might be a little bit different, some things to watch out for. And so you just need to take it, you know, take it seriously, but, you know, doesn't mean that your house is going to fall apart tomorrow. So
Right.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode of the Handy Guys Podcast. Keep sending us your questions, and we will hopefully, if they're good ones, even if you don't think they're good, we had one user today thought it was a dumb question, but it wasn't, one listener, we will address them.
All right.
So we'll talk to you next week on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.